Good morning. It's great to be here this morning. I know you could be anywhere else, but you're here, and we are glad of that. If you're a visitor, I'm not Brother LaRue. He's much more distinguished than I am. That's not a same way of saying old at all. This morning, I want to ask you a question. I want to ask you a very important question. Have you thought much about your life lately? Think about it. Have you pondered much about your life? You know, Friday, I did a funeral for someone, and funerals make you think. Funerals make you think about death. But funerals also make you think about life. When you think about your life, I'm sure you think about all the things that you have accomplished. Makes sense to think about that. Maybe you think about family. Maybe you think about social status. Maybe you think about church involvement. Or living a good life. Maybe you think about all of those types of things or different things. When I think about my life, I think about how I want my life to count. I don't want to waste my life. I want my life to count, don't you? This morning, I want you to take out your Bibles, and whether you turn in your Bibles or turn on your Bibles, it doesn't matter, but please make your way to Philippians chapter 3. That is where we will be this morning, beginning in verse 2, and we will go through verse 11. Philippians chapter 3. And let's see what Paul writes. He says, look out for the dogs, look out for the evildoers, look out for those who mutilate the flesh, for we are the circumcision, who worship the Spirit of God and glory in Christ Jesus and put no confidence in the flesh, though I myself have reason for confidence in the flesh also. If anyone else thinks he has reason for confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day, of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to righteousness under the law, blameless. But whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and may share his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible I may attain the resurrection from the dead. Wow. I think that's the longest sentence in the Bible. Let's look at these verses in a little more detail. Let's see what's going on here. You see, Paul is writing to the church about problems in the church. He is warning them about some Jewish people who are trying to complicate the issues about how to follow Jesus and how to be saved. He says in verse 2, let's refresh this. He says, look out for the dogs, look out for the evildoers, look out for those who mutilate the flesh. For we are the circumcision who worship by the Spirit of God and glory in Christ Jesus and put no confidence in the flesh. You may already know this, but the Jews call the Gentiles dogs. But Paul is turning it around on them, and he's calling this group of Jews dogs. So that was a slap in the face. Very harsh language coming from him toward them. These Jews, they came to the Gentiles with their checklist of things, such as, you have to follow this, you have to do this, you have to hold to this tradition, follow these laws, be circumcised, then have faith in Jesus and be saved. And Paul is pointing them out, and he's saying that anyone who is adding to the gospel message is doing evil. Evil doers. Paul then begins to talk about all the things that he has accomplished and telling anyone who thinks they have accomplished more for God to step up to the plate, because Paul's about to hit a home run. You've heard people say, when you're telling a story, when you get done, they say, well, I've done that and I've done more. Paul does that here. In the second part of 4, he says, if anyone else thinks he has reason for confidence in the flesh, I have more. And now Paul is about to list the things he has received and achieved. In verse 5, look at these things. I read them a while ago, but look at them and think about them. Circumcised on the eighth day, of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee. Wow. As to zeal, a persecutor of the church. As to righteousness under the law, he says, blameless. And after he names all of these things, he says in verse 7, but whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Meaning everything I have just mentioned, all of that coming together in one big lump, it equals loss. It equals nothing. Whatever he had gained or profited from what he did or was, he counts as loss. What are some of these things that he counts as loss? How about family heritage? Circumcised on the eighth day, he says. Of the people of Israel, he says. Family heritage. These are important things from the very beginning of his life. He didn't become a Jew later in life. He was circumcised on the eighth day, as the law dictated. What about social status? In the people of Israel, in the Hebrew nation, he was from the tribe of Benjamin. The tribe that was recognized for a lot of things. The first king of Israel came from the tribe of Benjamin. Do you remember who that was? Saul. Do you know what Paul's name was before God changed it? Saul. Maybe he was named after the first king from his lineage. What about biblical knowledge? As to the law, he says, I'm a Pharisee. Now, we think negatively of that term, but Pharisees studied God's word. Pharisees knew the word, meditated on the word, committed the word to memory, and loved the word. Paul loved the word of God. What about religious activity? He says, as to zeal, am I zealous? He said, yeah, I'm zealous. I persecuted the church for God. Remember in Acts 7, the stoning of Stephen. It says that they laid their coats at a man's feet That was Saul. Saul was there, now Paul, persecuting the church, giving approval for the stoning of this man, a godly man. Paul says, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church. What about a moral lifestyle? As to righteousness under the law, as to doing what the law says, he says, blameless. What a list. Paul did it all, and he did it well. Look back at these five things. Not one thing in that list is bad. Think about it. Family heritage, that's great. Social status, that can be good too. Biblical knowledge, wonderful. Religious activity, awesome. A moral lifestyle, awesome, great, amazing. All of this is great stuff. And we should be like the things we just read. But what Paul is telling them and telling us today is that even with all of this stuff going on in his life, in their life, in our life, when we come to the end of our lives, it could still be said that our life was wasted. Can you imagine a big sign over your life? Wasted. So you read all that and you think, well, if that doesn't count, and if it's not right for us, then what does count? What is right for us? Paul gets to the end of this list. He lumps it all together, and he calls it loss. Indeed, he says in verse 8, I count everything as lost because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. Paul tells us that the only thing in life that counts is knowing Christ Jesus. That is it. Students, do you hear me? Look up here. Knowing Christ Jesus, Paul says. In verse 7 and verse 8, he basically says the same thing back to back, and I think he does it on purpose because of his passion for this, because he wants us to get it. He doesn't want us to miss it this October 1st, 2017 morning. He says, but whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Then he repeats it, basically the same thing. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus. At the end of that verse, he says, in order that I may gain Christ. In verse 9, he says, and be found in him. Verse 10, he says, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. Share his sufferings, becoming like him in his death. Attain the resurrection from the dead. He wants Christ. The only thing in life that counts is knowing Christ Jesus. But what does it mean to be a Christ follower? Let's think about this for a moment. Philippians 3 teaches us, like I just said, that Jesus Christ is the most important thing. And we must take everything and everyone, everything in our lives, and write over it, loss without him. Loss without Christ. Everything and everyone. Family heritage, social status, biblical knowledge, religious activity, and moral lifestyle. Loss. At the end of verse 8, see if we have that up there. Verse 8. On the second to the end line, second line from the bottom. And count them as rubbish. For For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ. Rubbish, rubbish. The original word, do you know what it means? They say that the original, well, in the early churches, they were translating this and getting the word out. This was a hard one because it was so crude. The word means dung, excrement. For those of you who are about to go work in the nursery, you're about to see a visual representation of what I just said in here in just a few minutes, and you're going to change that diaper and you're going to say, this is what all of my life is worth without Christ. Do you hear me? Do you get what Paul is saying here? Because this type of Christianity that Paul is talking about today, this type of Christianity is different, so very different from a lot of Christianity that's being preached in pulpits across our country today. So many people across our country think that their life is going to count because they brought their kids to church this morning, just like their parents did for them. Many will think in Bible study this morning, thinking it counts for something, when it really might not. Bible study? Many wonderful people in the eyes of our culture today thinking that their lives will count. And there are people in this very room today who think because of the awesome things they have done, maybe even for Christ, that their life is going to count. Paul says it's all rubbish. You know, I was thinking a while ago before I stepped up here, I looked around and saw some of the people in this room. Important people, much more important than me. And I thought, if I was standing up there to give a speech on whatever topic, I would be scared to death because whether they liked it or not. But then God impressed something upon my heart. It doesn't matter what they think this morning because it's not your words and your opinion. See, this is God's word. And so, if you like it, great, give God the glory. If you don't like it, fine, give God a talk later on. As we stand before Jesus one day, reciting all the things that have been done for him, maybe going to church, bringing the kids, giving money, studying the Bible, living well, but across that life may still be written, it doesn't matter. Wasted. So this morning, I have a question for you. And it doesn't matter if you're on staff, if you're a deacon, Sunday school teacher, usher, counter worker, welcome desk help, thank you for being there. Nursery worker, Sunday school teacher. The question is, do you know Christ? Well, I signed a card and joined the church. It doesn't matter. I got baptized. Doesn't matter. I teach Sunday school, John. Doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you get up and preach a message either, does it? Do you know Christ? Do you know Christ and understand that everything else pales in comparison to Him? Because nothing else in this world matters, I promise you. Friday morning at 10 o'clock, I stood behind the pulpit at Reamans, and there was a lady in a casket, did not know her. It's hard preaching a funeral when you don't know him. But it's also easy because you just have to preach God's word. And it makes you think, what did she do? How did she live? What was her life like? And ultimately, none of that matters. Did she know Christ? Now, once you get past that, then those things matter. They don't save you, but they matter. Not to earn you favor in heaven, no, but to be in God's will. Do you know Christ? The only thing in life that counts is Christ, and He is worth losing everything for. You didn't like hearing that, did you? We must come to understand that in Christ we have found something worth losing everything for. On my Facebook page, some of you saw it, made a comment on it this morning. Actually, Miss Jackie saw it and commented, awesome. John Piper, a great preacher, and it's back 15 years ago when he still had hair, and he's talking to a group of college students on a hillside in Tennessee. And he tells a story. Amazing. He said, talk about your life being worth it and don't waste your life type stuff. He said there were two women, and he named them, pushing 80 years old, that had gone to Cameroon with their nursing skills for Christ. And they got message a little bit before he spoke that these two women were in a vehicle and the brakes gave out and they went over the edge of a cliff and died. And he said, was that tragic? Was it wasted? Was it worth it? He said, that's not tragic. He said, I'll tell you what tragic is. And he picks up a Reader's Digest and he makes a joke with this young people. And he says, I know most of you don't know what this is, but people do know what this is. And he begins to read a story. And I heard this story years ago. And it stuck with me ever since. The story said, this man and this woman, husband and wife, he's 59, she's 51, and they retired early. And he said, they moved to Punta Gorda, Florida. I don't even know where that is. They moved there, and the article says, and now they spend their life walking the beach, picking up seashells. That's a poem. Picking up seashells, playing softball, and boating in their 40-foot sailboat. And I'm like, wow. And we hear that and we think, that's awesome. And he shocked that crowd. You know what he said? That is a tragedy. He said, when these two women, pushing 80 years of age, 20 years after most of their peers are kicking it up, living it easy, they're serving the Lord. Gave their life for Christ. The only thing in life that counts is Christ. And He is worth losing everything for. You remember that $785 million lottery that happened a few months ago? Can you imagine what you could buy with that? Pretty much everything. And Paul says, rubbish. But can we really comprehend actually saying that? Rubbish. Well, I've thought about what I would spend with $785 million. I thought about all the mission trips we could go on, spreading the word of Christ. Anything you can imagine that this world could give you, Paul says, is loss, is rubbish. When you look at biblical Christianity, we can hold on to nothing and no one. When there is a choice between someone and Christ or something and Christ, we choose Christ. And when the good things in this life are taken away from us, we choose Christ. Job, his possessions were taken away, his money was taken away, his children were taken away, all he had was his wife, right? Don't read into that. You know what he said? He said, I don't have anything, but I know my Redeemer lives, right? In Philippians chapter 1, Paul is in prison and he says, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. For me to live is Christ and to die is gain. No matter what they decide to do to me, Paul says, I'm good with it. I'm fine. If they let me live, great. I'll preach Jesus. If they kill me, great. I'll go be with him. Everything else is rubbish. My question for us this morning is, how are we going to impact Long Beach, Mississippi, and hold on to our comforts and our status? How are we going to impact the world for Jesus, holding on to our good things, when he says, he is enough? I do not want to come to the end of my life and have it be wasted, even on the good things. I want Jesus. And I hope you do too. I want to have counted all things as loss and have Christ as my Savior. Is that too great a risk? Have any of you ever heard of someone who gave everything for Christ? Do you know of anyone who's done that? When I was, when the first year I dated Melanie, in 1990, the summer, where are you at? The summer of 1990, there she is, right down front. The summer of 1990, Melanie left for the summer and toured with the Continental Singers. And she went to Poland, Holland, West Germany, East Germany. And in 6 months before that, the wall had fallen. And it was an amazing time in Europe. In that concert that I got to go see when they toured 25 states, I got to go in Georgia. And one of those songs had the story of a man named Jim Elliot. And I had never heard of this man. And it was very emotional for me. I'm going to read the story just a short bit. Jim Elliot was among a group of missionaries from the United States who felt called to share Christ's teaching with the Waldani tribe in Ecuador in the 1950s. At the time, the Waldani were one of the most violent people groups on earth, who regularly killed anyone who came into their territory uninvited. Do any of you remember this? It was on Time magazine cover, 1956. Before my time, sorry. Elliot and four of his missionary friends, they initiated contact with the tribe after being taught some of their language. In January 1956, the five men were killed by members of the tribe, all because they chose to follow God and to share the message of Christ. Some people said that their lives were wasted. Do you know what happened after the five men were killed? This is the most exciting part. The five men being killed is just the beginning of the story. When Melanie's group sang about this man and told his story briefly on stage that first night, I sat there and wept. I want you to watch this video that I'm about to show you. And I want you to hear what happened next from the very lips of the son of that missionary pilot. This son's name is Steve Saint. His dad was speared to death in the jungle with the other men because they wanted to make their life count. Watch this.
My dad was killed when I was just a little boy, and it was with four of his friends, and it was a really violent killing. And people ask me all the time, you know, how I could forgive the people that killed my dad, including Grandfather Minkai, who I think was the one who finally did kill my dad. But, you know, I'm sure that they don't understand the perspective from which I saw it all. My dad and his four friends, Roger, Pete, Ed, and Jim, knew that they were risking their lives to try to contact this violent group that had never had friendly contact with the outside world. And then when it came right down to them being attacked, they had guns and they could have defended themselves, but they preferred to die rather than kill, even in self-defense. My aunt was living with a young girl from the Waodani tribe who had fled. My mom went on praying for the Waodani, and then Aunt Rachel went back in to live with these people for the very first time as outsiders. And my aunt knew that there was a risk, and I knew that there's a risk that she would be killed too. Well, by the time a year and a half later, when I got to go in and live with Aunt Rachel with these people who had killed my dad, that isn't the way I saw them at all. I saw them as being the most special people in the whole world. I mean, why else would my dad have been willing to die for them, my mom go on praying for them, and my aunt risk her life for them? People think it's so amazing that I would forgive Minkai, but you know, in their culture, because he killed my family, it was my right and my responsibility when I grew up.
Just go ahead and turn it off. I hate that that happened. So Steve continues to tell this story, and he talks about how this man sitting next to him, that he now considers his grandfather, was the one who he believes killed his dad on that beach that morning. He tells the story, and at the very end of this grandfather from the Waodani tribe who killed his dad is at his home for Christmas. He's sitting in a chair, and Steve's grandchildren, Minkai has one in his arms and two draped over his shoulders. Picture this. He's laying in bed that night, and his wife says, "You just wish you could go in there and kiss him one good time, one more time, good night, don't you?" He says, "This man that killed my dad, the affection I had for my dad, I now have for this man." God changes lives. Why do I show you a video like this at the end of a message like this? Because this is the result when you count all things rubbish. They left their safe life in the United States. You know what? I grew up thinking those missionaries are crazy people, or they're super spiritual people. I could never do that, never be like that. They're just people who sat in the pew and God convicted their heart and said, "Go." And they went. And so, y'all have heard of Elizabeth Elliot, probably. She passed away a few years ago. She was the wife of Jim Elliot and had an amazing ministry after this event, or after that event in 1956. This morning, we've been challenged by God's word to count all things as loss compared to Christ. If you didn't like hearing some of that, I'm very, very sorry. Take it up with Philippians chapter 3 and ask God why. Maybe He'll give you a heart for Him that cannot stop. A burning desire in your heart for your Lord. This morning, if there is someone in this room who has never trusted Christ as their Savior, you can do that this morning. Brenda and I will be down front, and you can come and say, I'm ready. If there is something in your heart that you wish to just lay at the foot of the cross, then turn this into an altar. That's fine too. You don't have to come to me or Brenda. Just take it to the Lord. I'm going to invite you to stand at this moment, and as the praise team comes, I'm going to ask you to bow your head and to do business with your Savior, and if you don't have one, you can today. Please bow with me in prayer. Father, Lord,